Hello and welcome to ADHD Fest, the podcast all about adult ADHD with a little bit of law of attraction and self-development thrown in there. If you are new to the podcast, I am your host, Tara Pratt. If you're not new, you know the drill. Let's get into it. This week's episode is going to be one of two parts. They do go together, but they're going to be very different. So the first half, I'm going to update you if you are new here. Last week's episode, I talked about burnout because I was in the middle of it. So this episode, the first half, I'm just going to catch you up on where I am on that. And maybe you can relate to some of it. And the second half of the episode, that's going to lead me nicely into a topic that I've been wanting to talk about for a while anyway. And that is ADHDers that I admire that have been successful, even though they're going through these exact same struggles. It's just a little bit of inspiration. Sometimes it can take me either way. Like if I'm feeling a bit low, I'm a bit like, oh no, they've got these same struggles and they were successful. They must be much stronger than I am. But I know that's just the anxiety talking. I know that's just when you're feeling low, because the truth is we all have that power inside us. It's hard, but if we can just learn to slow down, accept ourselves, let ourselves rest when we need it, and accept that we have a disability, we can be successful in whatever way we want to be as well. Okay, so first part, talking about last week. Last week episode was Diary of an ADHD Burnout. If you want to go back and listen to it, you can, but you can also just catch up here. So I cannot remember what I said on last week's episode. I think it was the Wednesday. It was the Tuesday I recorded. So I was still very much in the thick of it. I was trying out different scenarios to work through the burnout. I was feeling pretty rubbish. It was like a creative burnout. I just didn't want to do any work, to be honest. I love this podcast. I love ADHD Fest. And some days I just don't. I just wake up feeling absolutely indifferent to it. I don't want to do it. But I know from experience at this point that that is only a temporary feeling. I think we can all get a bit like that. Like you can love something, really hyper-focus on it and get really intense about it. And then it's just too much and you don't even want to think about it for a while. The best thing to do is try and give yourself that space. I try and batch ahead of time a little bit just so that when I do get into them phases, I can choose not to do a podcast if I don't want to. So anyway, that's where I was. I was in the middle of it last week and I was using my burnout Bible to work my way through that burnout. It had been creeping on about 2 weeks and I only realised it on the Sunday night, I think it was. And then by Tuesday, I'd used a few techniques, but I was still in the middle of it, just working through it. And then the Wednesday, I had a complete meltdown, like just sobbing all day. I was frustrated. I was angry. Poor Pete, he was like, you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm just so mad. I'm just so sick of this, like doing well for a while, feeling like, oh yeah, I'm picking up some traction here. I'm getting things done. I feel my best self. I finally cracked the code. And then I just get knocked out of whack. And it's so frustrating because it happens over and over again, which is the truth. And that is what ADHD is. As much as I know that in my mind, I've been working on this for a long time now. When you're in the middle of that burnout, when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're tired, when you're just frustrated, it's really hard to see that this is just part of it and it's only temporary. And actually, now that I'm on the other side, I can see, yes, it's still happening, even though I've got all these things in place, but it's much, much less severe. It's much less severe than it used to be. For one, it used to go on for weeks at a time. For two, I couldn't get out of bed. Like I literally couldn't get anything done before. This time, I was still going for walks. I was still exercising. I just felt rubbish. So it was much less severe this time. But what I do want to say is ADHD is frustrating. I try to keep it light on this podcast. I try and keep it, you know, uplifting, positive, because you've got to be. We have to be positive about it because it is what it is and we want to make the best of our lives no matter what. But it is hard, it is frustrating. And now and again, it's going to catch up with us and we're going to have to let off steam. And I'm talking to myself in that as well, in that regard, because as much as you work on accepting it and this is what ADHD is and that is going to happen from time to time, I still forget sometimes. I'm working my way through it with you. But I know the times when I can accept it and just be compassionate with myself, that's when we get through it the quickest. So yeah, Wednesday, I was up to the limit and I had to let all the frustration out. So I just had a big rant to Pete about how I'm sick of it. I just want to get on with my life. I feel like it's never going to change. I feel like all my hard work I've been doing is undone. I feel like I'm behind. And I really did feel those things in the moment. That is the real frustration I feel. And I do feel like that from time to time. But now I'm on the other side, I can see that's just like a really negative mindset that I was in. And it was temporary. And now I can see I'm progressing. As much as I was burnt out and couldn't work for a while, the podcast still went out. I'm still getting messages from people saying, oh, this episode about habits really helped me. Now that I'm back on track and I can work and I'm excited again, I can see that that blip where I wasn't feeling so great and I was burnt out actually hasn't set me back as much as it was setting me back in my imagination. So you may think that having that like mini breakdown and crying all day and ranting to Pete was a step back and that the techniques that I was using didn't work and they led me to this meltdown point. But the way I see it is the techniques worked perfectly. They got me to the point where I could relax, where I could be in my body and I could feel those feelings fully and I could let them all out fully instead of them just piling up and piling up and like a hot kettle, all the steam just burst out at once. I released all that hot steam. And the next day, which was the Thursday, I felt a million times better and I felt like I was out of burnout. And I still carry all those frustrations today. This week has definitely been tough where I'm reflecting on, okay, so burnout is still coming. It's much less severe. Is there a way that I can make it even better when I'm in the middle of it next time? How can I manage it? And I'm reflecting on that. What worked? What techniques did I use this time that worked to help me get out of there? And what can I write down and remember? We need to accept the fact that we suffer with executive dysfunction, time blindness, forgetfulness, hyperfocus. All these things are micro frustrations, sometimes macro frustrations, sometimes you can't get anything done. And they are frustrating and they are annoying because we're not lazy. We want to be good people. We want to give our all. We want to reach our full potential. And it's all that is stopping us is a disability. And it's not fair. That is not fair because there are people without that disability that can just get on with things. And we have been dealt a difficult hand. There's nothing wrong with saying that. We can accept that. We work on accepting this is rubbish. And once you grieve those feelings, then you make decisions from there. Okay, I accept this is who I am. I have a disability, which is ADHD, and I cannot keep up with neurotypical standards. But that doesn't mean we can't achieve the same things that neurotypicals do. The only thing we can't achieve like neurotypicals do is their standards. All they are is a strategy. All they are is a method. We can't use the same methods that they can. We're incapable of that, and I accept that. I cannot get up every single day and work 9 to 5 and give it a consistent effort where it's the same every single day. For me, I get up and it's either amazing effort and I'm getting everything done and I'm getting much more than your average neurotypical would do, or I'm waking up and I am getting zero done. It is all or nothing for me. But that's the only area that we are incapable, because we are totally capable of reaching the same achievements. We just need a different method. We just need different strategies. And it's all trial and error, which is, again, frustrating because every person with ADHD is different. Every symptom of ADHD is different. It comes out in different ways. You know, your upbringing is a factor. For example, I was never expected to do a 9-to-5 job. And I think that's why I didn't have loads of negative effects growing up, because I came from a musical background. My family was in show business and that's what they expected me to go into. They cared about my schoolwork and my education, but they were fine if I wanted to do something arty and expressive. And I was very lucky in that way. A person who has been expected to go into corporate work and a 9-to-5 might have the exact same ADHD, but they've had a very different experience. And for me, on the flip side, when I became a mum, which definitely had a lot of expectations around it, both from my family, but also from wider society, obviously. When I became a mum and suddenly all these expectations were on me and I couldn't keep up with it and I've never had that level of pressure before, that's when the house of cards came tumbling down for me. So, on saying that, I want to give some evidence for that point that I was making earlier, that we can achieve anything a neurotypical can achieve. We just need different methods. We just need to think differently and put our expectations on a different setting. They're not lower expectations. We've just got to break out of the norm. We've got to break out of that box and stop expecting ourselves to do things the supposed right way, in air quotes. So I'm going to tell you about a few people that I admire and I've done a little bit of research on to make that point. First up is one you might have heard of before because she is in the ADHD self-help realm. And if you haven't heard of her, then great for you because I'm going to tell you about her now and you can go and watch her stuff. It's Jessica McCabe and she is the creator of How to ADHD, which is her YouTube channel. And her videos just provide like coping strategies, productivity tips, and self-development specific for ADHD. She's had that channel since 2016. She's around my age. I'm not sure 100% what age she is, but I'm late 30s and I assume she's around the same age. But she was diagnosed a lot earlier. She was diagnosed at age 12. She's on medication and she sees a psychiatrist to help with her ADHD. But she struggled despite that, despite being diagnosed earlier, despite having the medication, she still struggled to complete community college and she dropped out of college at 21. So if you've been lamenting the fact that you've been late diagnosed, which I know a lot of us go through, I went through a lot of grief around that. When I was first diagnosed, I was really relieved. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I finally got an answer. And then the grief swept over me, like how many years of my life have I wasted not knowing this about myself? It's not always necessarily true that you would have done better if you were diagnosed before. I do believe in the timing of your life. I believe we find out these things when we should. And I believe in fate. But she was diagnosed earlier and she still struggled with community college and she didn't even complete it. Then we skip to now. She started a YouTube channel in 2016. It now has over 1 million subscribers. So I'm not sure how much money she'll be making on the YouTube channel, but Wikipedia says her Patreon, which is like a subscriber thing you can join and you pay a fee to, is earning $15,000 per month. She's done a TED Talk, which she gave in 2017, and it has over 5.4 million views. So can you see how someone who struggled so much, even with medication, even with therapy, to even finish college, has now done a TED Talk? She's now got a YouTube channel with over 1 million subscribers. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. It's called How to ADHD. And she does share on there, she struggles, she still struggles. Just because someone is successful and they're where you would like to be and you're nowhere near that, doesn't mean they've cured their ADHD. It doesn't mean they've cracked the code. It doesn't mean they don't get burnout. It doesn't mean they don't have a rant like I did the other day where I was shouting about how annoying it is and how I'm sick of it and I just want to give up. I'm sure she has those days too. But slowly but surely, she's worked with her brain. She's tried different things and she's successful. It doesn't cure her ADHD, but she's still living her life to the fullest. The next one I want to talk about is someone I think you should all know, and that is Richard Branson. He's commonly in the list of people with ADHD, but it might be a surprise to you, I'm not sure. He is an absolute champion of neurodiversity, and he not only has ADHD, but he has dyslexia as well. And he performed really poorly academically. And there's this famous line that his school headmaster said to him on his last day of school, and that was that he would either end up in prison or become a millionaire. And I feel like that's a common theme actually with ADHDers. People on the outside look at you and they're like, you're a genius and you're also crazy. I'm not sure which. We are an absolute dichotomy. We're a paradox. On one end of the spectrum, we are amazing. It's that all or nothing, isn't it, mentality. It's like I was saying before, I can wake up and I can be on fire. I can be so productive. I can get amazing things done. Or I can wake up and do absolutely nothing and bed rot for the whole day. So that just sums it up. He's going to end up in prison or become a millionaire. And of course, we all know how that story ended. He's now supposedly, according to Wikipedia, his net worth is $2.9 billion. And I've read his autobiography before. It's a really interesting read. I get the vibe that he is high on the impulsivity scale, really high, because he takes risks all the time, but they're calculated risks. And I think he's found that niche where he gets enough excitement and stimulation out of what he's doing that it doesn't feel like hard work. And obviously, he's in his zone of genius, I'm sure. As he's gotten bigger, as he's grown these businesses, he's been able to delegate the things that he struggles with. With ADHD, I bet you, behind closed doors, Richard Branson is not loving life every day. No amount of money can make you love life every day, whether you're neurotypical or you're neurodiverse. He definitely will have his own down days. I'm sure some of his impulsivity has bitten him in the arse. I'm sure that he's had failed businesses many, many times. But the net worth now being 2.9 billion is a result of him just keep going. When you feel good, just keep going. It doesn't undo what you've done just because of a few bad days. And then the last person I want to talk about is a lady that I follow, I've spoken about before, and that is Denise Duffield Thomas. Oh, and I forgot to say, I think Richard Branson was diagnosed quite young as well. Denise Duffield Thomas is an entrepreneur. She's an Australian entrepreneur, but she lived in England for quite a while. She's written three books that I know of. And if you are an entrepreneur with ADHD, I would recommend reading Chillpreneur. It's really good. She actually wrote this before she knew she had ADHD. So on the flip side, Denise was diagnosed at age 42, which is a bit later than me. Although she was diagnosed that late, the strategies and hacks she was using before that, what she was sharing in Chillpreneur, are accidentally really good for ADHD, because obviously she was working with her own mind and she could see all these women around her, probably undiagnosed ADHDers, that were struggling in the same way she was. And she's just been really inventive with her ideas and techniques. And luckily, they're ADHD specific. They work for her type of ADHD. And a lot of her tips I've tried, and they've worked for me. She has used the ADHD to her advantage. In hindsight, she says that she recognized it her whole life, even though she didn't know it. She did okay at school most of the time, but she was always handing things in late and very last minute. She loses things all the time. I lose things all the time. Looking at Denise, she doesn't say here whether she's inattentive or hyperactive or combination. But looking at Denise, I would assume she is inattentive, which is my brand of ADHD as well. And university was really hard for her. She failed every single one of her subjects except for marketing. And obviously that is what lights her up, is marketing. And you can tell when you look at her work that that is her forte. That is her zone of genius. And one thing about Denise's work, she talks a lot about she's always in her zone of genius. That is where she makes her most time. She delegates jobs that are not her zone of genius. One of the first things she did when her business started to make money is hire a cleaner. That was one of the very first things she did, because she realized, okay, yes, I've got to spend money to pay this cleaner, but that's buying me back hours of my time. What she can do in an hour would take me three. And 3 hours of my time not working in my zone of genius is very expensive. If I can pay her this little bit amount of money, I can make so much more money by working to my strengths and my zone of genius. And I really love Denise's work for that, because she's just got no shame around it. And I think we can all learn from that. We need to work on getting rid of these patriarchal, old-fashioned ideas of this is the way you have to work, this is the way you have to do it. No. Lose any shame around that. It's a modern world. It's a very different world today. And we need to work any way we can that suits us. If you want to do half an hour's work and then take an hour and a half off to go down, I don't know, down to the driving range at golf and whack balls and get out some frustration and energy, and then you're going to come back and do another hour's work. Well done. You've got an hour and a half's work done today. If you guilt and shame yourself into, oh no, I can't go down to the driving range and do hit balls today, then guess what? You're probably going to feel overwhelmed. You're probably going to get into executive dysfunction and you won't even get that hour and a half of work done. Can you see how removing the guilt and shame is going to help you progress faster? Do check out Denise Duffield Thomas's book, Chillpreneur. She is now, I can't find her net worth. Remember, she struggled in school. She failed everything in uni apart from marketing. I know from reading her books that she had many, many failed businesses, 100 ideas and lots of failed businesses and no money for a long time. And now she is a multi-millionaireess. I can't find her exact net worth anywhere, but it's pretty obvious. You can see if you follow her online. She's got lots of property. She's a multi-millionaireess. She has down days just like us. She has bad days just like us. She has struggles just like us. She is not working full time all the time. She's working smart, not hard. And if we can find that magic, and this doesn't just apply to work. I've talked about work a lot here because obviously I'm looking at people who are successful within their careers because I don't know them on a personal level. I also am looking at it from the perspective of my career, but it also, the burnout did affect me personally too because I felt like I wasn't being a good enough mom. I was just doing the bare minimum. I felt like I wasn't giving my husband enough attention. I definitely didn't see my friends because I was hiding out. So it does affect every area of your life, but we can still be successful. This week, I'm out of the burnout. My son still loves me. We are still bonded. He's always following me everywhere. My husband definitely still loves me. He's so cute. He's been really nice. And my friends, I just had coffee with my friend this morning before recording this podcast, and we had a lovely time. I haven't lost any friends. So if you are in burnout at the moment, don't let that anxious mind, that tired mind convince you that you can't have these things, that you can't be a great mom, that you can't have a successful career, that you can't have great friends. Whatever it is that's on your list that you want to be, have, or do, don't let it convince you that you can't get there. You absolutely can get there. You don't have to give up any of your dreams. The only thing you have to give up is this idea that you're gonna suddenly be able to keep up with neurotypical standards and what society expects of you. Give up this idea that you're gonna be in the 5 a.m. club. Give up this idea that you are gonna try these strategies and you're gonna do them every single day without failing. Give up the idea that you're never gonna be in burnout because you are. But that doesn't mean anything about you as a person. All it means is exactly what it means. You're going to have days with burnout. You're going to have days where you don't want to do anything. You don't want to see your friends. You get into executive dysfunction. You can't get going. But there are going to be days where you can. And those days, if we hang on to that shame around our ADHD and the things that hold us back, we're going to waste those days too. So accept that those days will come. Manage them as best you can, and then just live your life. Just enjoy your life. Release that shame. You can be happy in every area. You are deserving of it, just like anyone else. And I hope that has helped this week. If you've got any questions, as usual, send them over to me on Instagram or TikTok at ADHDFest on Instagram and at ADHD_Fest over on TikTok. I'll leave you some links down below. I've got a couple of freebies there for you if you want to see them. There's also the Body Doubling membership, which is our accountability club. It's just another podcast. There's been a few people like confused about what that is. It's exactly like this, another podcast, but it's in real time. We take on tasks like we just did cleaning the bathroom. Last week we did decluttering a bedroom. We take on tasks. I think I'm going to do, my next one's going to be like a walk, maybe exercise or something like that. And you just listen along exactly like you do with this, but you do the work alongside me at the same time as listening. So I'll leave the link for that down below as well. And I'll see you all next week, guys. Bye.